Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
One of the great passages in the Bible is John chapter 10, dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. John chapter 10, we find here in verse 11, Jesus Christ said, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And I'll tell you what, that is a wonderful passage because no other person who started a movement or a religion ever gave his life for the sheep. Now, Jesus Christ didn't start a movement. He didn't start a religion. This is true salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to talk about him, the Good Shepherd, today. And by comparison to a shepherd, we want to find out those qualities of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. And the first thing that we notice is, a good shepherd seeks. A good shepherd seeks. Look in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The Bible says, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, there was a parable given concerning a shepherd who had 100 sheep and lost one, and then he left the 99, and he went to go find the sheep that had gotten away. Remember that? That's our Savior. That's our shepherd. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, some people want you to go along with something they call Calvinism. That is, that the decision about who would be saved has already been made in eternity, and that the decision of who would be lost has already been made in eternity. And so, why tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ if the decision has already been made? Why seek the lost if the decision has already been made? And I realize if you wanted to get in an argument with somebody about this seeking process, they could justify the fact that preachers don't go out and try to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ anymore. We're not Calvinistic. We believe that the Holy Spirit must be involved in the gospel for folks to get saved, for sure. In other words, it's not just a matter of the soul winner reasonably convincing the lost soul that he must be saved. The Holy Spirit's got to be involved in that. The Father draws them. When I think about Cornelius, I see somebody that's a really good example in Acts chapter 10 of a man that was devout. He feared God. He gave much alms. He prayed to God always, but God made sure that he got a preacher that came and preached the gospel. Peter came and he preached to him Jesus Christ, and it was from the preaching of the gospel that Cornelius willingly received the Lord, got saved. Notice the Holy Spirit was involved in that whole process. You've got those folks who are under the convicting power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And so what you have is you have this combination work of the Good Shepherd who is seeking the lost to save them. I tell you what, Jesus Christ is a good shepherd. He really is a good shepherd. He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. I am so glad that he came to seek me. Boy, I needed saving in the worst way. And I am so thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ made sure that Rocky Young was around when I needed Jesus Christ, and that Rocky would preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to me to be saved. I'm so thankful that a young man gave a testimony of Jesus Christ and salvation in Jesus Christ. Oh, I tell you, I'm so happy about that. Because through that man's testimony and through Rocky's preaching of the gospel, I got saved. Wow, I'm telling you, it's a good thing that the Lord seeks out the lost to save, like a good shepherd. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that Jesus Christ has done. All right, well, let's go on to another one. Not only does he seek, but he washes. Jesus, the good shepherd, washes. Some people say washes, and maybe you understand that better. Well, the point very simply is when we came to him, we were dirty. We were lost and we were sinners. And the Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You know what he did? He washed us from our sins in his own blood, according to Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Aren't you so happy about that, what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us? You see, I, when he found me, I was dirty, and he cleaned me up. And when he found you, you were dirty, and he cleaned you up. As some of us looked a little dirtier than the others, but I'll tell you what, he's got us looking pretty good now, doesn't he? He really does. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 3, now we are clean through the word. You get in that Bible, you read that Bible, it'll clean you up. The Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 runs through a pretty despicable list of sinners. I don't even know if you can find yourself in the list. You probably can, but maybe not. Nevertheless, if you're not in the list, you probably take comfort in knowing that if he can clean these guys up, he can surely clean you up. That Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed. You are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Now, a good shepherd is going to clean that flock up, and I'll tell you what, he'll wash you when you get saved. You know why? Because he's a good shepherd, and he knows we need washing. That's not all. Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, seeks, he washes, he also feeds. The Bible tells us in Psalm 68, verse 11, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. I'm publishing it today. I'm telling you about Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. And I'll tell you something. If you're not saved, he's seeking you to save you now. If you're not washed from your sins, he'll wash you from your sins in his own blood. And not only that, he'll feed you with the word of God. He said the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. And boy, we're publishing it right now. He uses preachers to feed the flock. I read some verses to you recently. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. Those have to do with preachers feeding the flock. Peter had to feed the sheep. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. See, the preacher preaches the Word of God. That's what I'm doing right now. But the reason that it's profitable to you is that the Holy Spirit inspires it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You see, what's happening here today is that you're hearing the Word of God, but the thing that's making it profitable is that the Spirit of God gives it to you by inspiration. And then what happens is lives change. If you're saved, you grow. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If you're lost, you get saved. And your life changes. Why? Because of the feeding, because of the preaching of the word of God. You know why that's profitable to you? The good shepherd. Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, makes sure that you get fed. And that's not all. Like a good shepherd, he seeks. Like a good shepherd, he washes. Like a good shepherd, he feeds. Like a good shepherd, he cares for his sheep. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know something? We need him to care for us. You know why? Because sometimes, there's no man to care for your soul. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 142, verse 4. No man cared for my soul. Haven't you felt sometimes like you're all alone in the world? I'll tell you what, I honestly believe that the Lord puts you through circumstances where you get isolated from the world and from Christians. I really do. I really think there are times when you go through life, you feel like you don't have a friend left in the world. And I believe that God allows that to happen to you by design. I know that it happened to me in my case more than once, and I know in those cases, God used those experiences to drive me closer to him, to let me know just how much he does care for my soul. I'll tell you what, you can become too dependent on people and too critical of people and too concerned about people and not concerned enough about the Lord Jesus Christ and find yourself seeking out fellowship of men and entertainment of men and criticism of men until you get tired of that and they get tired of you. And then you know what happens? Well, if you're not careful, you're going to get frustrated. I'll tell you what, I've met a lot of people over the years who say, well, I was in a church, but the preacher did this, or somebody did that, or somebody said this, or somebody said that, and now they sit at home on Sunday and Wednesday and every other day of the week, and they'll have nothing to do with the church. They won't darken the door. And why? Because they're upset. And you know what they missed in the process? And you may be one of them that missed it. What you missed in the process is that the Lord allowed those things to happen only to magnify himself more in your life, and you're still stuck on criticizing other people, on saying you don't go because of what they did to you. You know what? You need to get out of that and cast all your care upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's a good shepherd and he does care for you. He'll take care of it. Jesus, the good shepherd, I'll tell you something else he'll do for you. He'll protect you. Like David protected his sheep. Remember when he fought off the lion and fought off the bear? Remember that deal? Well, I'll tell you what. There's a lion and there's a bear. The Antichrist is likened to a bear. The devil's likened to a lion. I'll tell you what, they'd love to have you for lunch. We have enemies. Not the least of whom is the devil. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil as a roaring lion goeth about seeking whom he may devour. You don't think he wants to chew you up and spit you out? He sure does. And not only that, there's wolves out there. As we've said recently, the Lord said, I'll send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. You got to understand, there are people out there that don't like Christians and don't like Christianity and don't like the Bible and don't like the church and will do whatever they can to mess it up. And then on top of that, there are deceivers out there who run around in sheep's clothing, and they are ravenous wolves. They're false prophets. I'm telling you what, if you don't have Jesus Christ to protect you, you don't know where you are. You may have found yourself in a time of your life where you trusted somebody to tell you the truth, and he really wasn't telling you the truth. Turned out he was a false prophet. I found myself in that situation. Gave you a bum steer, pointed you in the wrong direction, and quoted the Bible when he was doing it. I've had that happen to me. Messed me up. Because I held the person who was doing that in enough esteem to believe him. And you know something? You got to be careful with that. You got to be careful with wolves. You know, Paul was very concerned about that. He was with the elders of Ephesus for 3 years. When he left, He said this in Acts chapter 20, verse 29, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. He said, I'm telling you, I've been here like a shepherd, like Jesus Christ himself. When I leave, they're going to come in here and tear these sheep up. Now, you know something? Jesus Christ has to protect you from that. People have talked about church splits and the various things that have gone wrong when men get involved in it. And you know what happened? People took their eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, who could have kept that all together. He protects from the wolves, from the false prophets, from the devil, from the bear. You understand? You need a good shepherd. You cannot make it on your own out there in the world. People say, well, I just worship the Lord the best way I know out here in my deer blind. You know something? That's foolish. That really is. You know what the problem is? It's about the deer blind. It's not about the Lord. Yeah, I've been out fishing before and talked to the Lord. I've been out stomping around chasing animals, talking to the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't very close to him at the time. Not as close as I've gotten when I've been in church or in the privacy of my home, seriously concentrating on him and not on game and recreation. Don't kid yourself. I get out there with the Lord, you know, and I get real close. Don't kid yourself. Seriously. I know you've fooled others, but the worst one you fooled is yourself. Now, you need more protection than that. You get in there with the flock and get the Lord over you, and watch out now. That devil's got you separated out where he's already done with you what he needs to do. He got you out of the flock. Jesus is a good shepherd. He seeks those that are lost. He washes those that he finds. He feeds you. He cares for you. He protects you. And I'll tell you something else. He'll rest you. That's right. The good shepherd rests. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the odd thing is, we get our rest while taking his yoke. He said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You don't get as much rest when you're out of the yoke. I know it's a strange thing. People say, well, I've been working all week. Last thing I want to do is, I know. And you say, well, that's my day to rest, and you do, but you don't. You don't get the rest. You don't get the depth of the rest. And I know about that. Listen, when we went to Bible college, my daily routine was like this. I'd get up at 5:30 in the morning, read the Bible, get my oldest daughter up, get her dressed and get her fed, get her on the bus to school, jump in the car, drive 45 minutes, and pour concrete. Work until I had to leave, get home just in time to pick up the books, go straight to the school from 6 o'clock till 10 o'clock at night, get home, eat supper at 10:15, take a walk with my wife so we could catch up on the day, study until I passed out, which was usually 12 or 12:30, get up at 5:30 the next morning, do it all over again. Saturday, lots of studying. Friday night, a little recreation with the kids. Sometimes go fishing, and Sunday, all day in church, except for Sunday afternoon where there was a bonus nap, obviously, to catch up. You say, was it hard? It was very hard. But there was a supernatural rest in all of that, and I wouldn't have traded it. I don't think I could do it now. I wouldn't have traded it for what happened then. You say, how'd that happen? Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. He provided a supernatural rest that you can only get from Jesus Christ. So don't worry when you say, Christianity's too demanding on my time. You're not doing enough for the shepherd right now. You understand? To be looking to him for rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, I know some who are. And if you are, I'm surely not coming after you. You know something else the good shepherd does? He heals. Now, understand, healing is different today than in the Gospels because the emphasis is not on Israel right now, and Jews require a sign, and that's what healing was. It was a sign gift. But we still look to him to give us health, and he does still heal. It's just not like it was during the Gospels. Like a good shepherd, though, sometimes he has to shear us or even hurt us for our own good. They talk about the little lamb that gets away, and they have to break the leg, and then the shepherd carries him on his shoulders until he heals up, and then he won't leave the flock. And there may be something to that. I'm just to tell you, whatever you go through, you may feel that the hand of the Lord, like Job did, like the hand of the Lord was against you there, or that he sheared you pretty good. You know something? You want to remember that he is a good shepherd, and his intention in doing all of that was to get something out of you that needed to get out of you, and then to come and heal you. Listen, you'll pay your doctor handsomely to hurt you in order to heal you. Why don't you let the Lord do the same thing? Don't get bitter in the process of a time where the Lord has to put you through something to hurt you in order to bring you out and heal you. Some people get bitter in that process, and they turn against the Lord, and they get mad, and they get hung, and they won't let go. And I'm going to tell you, if you found yourself in that situation, you need to just recognize that bitterness and get before the Lord and say, listen, I trust you to do with me whatever you need to do to make me better. I trust you, and if you've got to hurt me in order to make me better, I trust you to do that in your gentleness and in your goodness. I trust that you know what you're doing better than I do, and I'm not going to fight you and get bitter in the process. Jesus, the good shepherd, he heals. You know something else he does? He separates. There in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 32, talking about the judgment of the nations, Matthew chapter 25, verse 32, there's the Lord sitting in the throne of his glory. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Well, he's going to divide you from the goats. Now, may I tell you something? You know some goats. And those goats hadn't been doing you any good as a sheep. And the Lord's been putting a little pressure on you right now to separate, and you haven't been willing to do that, but you're going to have to. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. See? And the problem is that you're supposed to witness to them. You're supposed to develop enough of a relationship with them that you can tell them about Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you what, you get too close sometimes. You get kind of yoked up, sort of obligated to an unbeliever. And the Bible says, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You're the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And you know what? Right now you're upset because the Lord's not coming through for you, and you know what the problem is? You're yoked up in an unclean situation, and you know it. I'll tell you what, there are a lot of Christians today, and I mean really saved, born again, child of God, Christians today, who have Jesus Christ for their good shepherd, and they are living with somebody in a situation God doesn't want them to be in. That's a sheep with a goat, and you're sitting there praying for God to work on that situation and make it better. The only way to make it better is to separate. That's what the shepherd does. And if you're not willing for him to separate you from the situation you're in that you know is wrong, you pray all you want to, it's not going to improve the situation. It could be a business relationship. It could be a live-in situation. It could be a number of things. And the Bible says you need to break it up. You need to break it up. Then when you separate, the shepherd will have you over there with the sheep in the flock. Now he can deal with you and answer some prayers for you. You know why he does it that way? Because he's a good shepherd. And then something else, a good shepherd knows. In John chapter 10, Jesus Christ is talking about being the good shepherd, and he gets there to verse 27. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You listen, if the Lord's using this message to talk to you today, you can hear his voice in it. I mean, you recognize my voice, of course, and you recognize that I'm just a preacher, and I'm spouting off my mouth and doing the best I can to convey this message to you, but the Lord is talking to your heart. He's doing something that I could never do. You know why? Because you're his sheep, and he's your shepherd, and he says, my sheep hear my voice. You hear him? And then he says, I know them, and they follow me. He knows his sheep. Do you follow him? He knows his sheep. Do you follow him? I said, he knows his sheep. Do you follow him? He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do you? Well, if you don't, you're acting like a goat. And you need to quit acting like a goat, and you need to start doing what a sheep would do to a good shepherd. You'll follow him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 describes the seal that we have in Jesus Christ. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Does he know you as one of his sheep? Huh? Does he know you as one of his sheep? If he doesn't know you as one of his sheep, that means you're not saved yet. You say, well, I'm not sure if I am or not. You know what? You ought to make sure of that today. You say, well, there's no way I can be sure of that. Well, that's your opinion, but that's not the Bible. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Sure, you can know. The reason you don't is that either you doubt the salvation that you have, or you didn't get saved. Now, if you didn't get saved, you need to get saved. Why? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Are you his? Are you one of his sheep? If you are, then you know what? Start following the shepherd. And if you are not, then you know what? He's seeking you in this message right now. You need to get saved. You need to let him wash you from your sins in his own blood. And you need to be saved. You need to trust him. Now, what are you going to do? He knows who you are. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. You want eternal life? Trust the Savior. Trust Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. He'll give you eternal life. He said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. How about that? Why don't you take him up on his offer? Why don't you trust him and find out for sure that what you've been hearing is absolutely the truth? Why don't you do that? And then let me say this, if you already have and you're kind of bumping your toes, you kind of got separated from the flock and got hooked up with the goats, you know what? Separate from the goats and get hooked up with the flock and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Best life you'll ever live in your life is right in behind your good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.